Habitual procrastination regarding sermon preparation could be a sign that you need to ask for help. That's our key sentence for the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. Welcome. We're so glad you're with us for today. We're talking, as we always do, with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, have you ever had a problem with procrastination?
It depends on what you're referring to. If you ask me that and you're referring to filling out your income tax report, yes, the answer is yes. I hate that like I hate the plague. If you ask me, do I have a problem when I was in radio ministry filling out my report to the board, which met, you know, it seemed like every 2 weeks. It was like twice a year. Yes, I for whatever reason, I didn't like doing that. So I procrastinated in those areas. It's probably not a bad idea to define what procrastination is.
I thought what you were going to say was, come back to me tomorrow and I'll have an answer for
That's
you.
That's funny. I should have. That's great.
Procrastination is putting off usually an unpleasant task because we don't want to deal with it. And certainly that is one of the things that I can see about income tax and even reports to the board. I would have bet that you would not define those as productive tasks.
They were busy work. You know, the funny thing is I almost always get a refund on my taxes, so it's to my advantage to fill it out. But it's just busy work to me. It's not something I enjoy. So if you ask whether I enjoy putting together sermons, I enjoy it. So I'm not a procrastinator in that sense. I think that I have hired people who putting together a sermon was absolutely like pulling teeth for them, and it was very hard. And they would always be extremely busy, so I like the way you defined it. Because it's not that they weren't busy, it's just that they didn't enjoy this, so they put other things first, and then they would always complain like, I just didn't have enough time. Everybody's got the same amount of time, it's just how they spent that time. And sermonizing was not something they found enjoyable, so they spent it in counseling, or they spent it in, you know, playing baseball with the softball team or whatever. They were busy and they were not lazy, but as far as the job for which they were hired, they were procrastinators. So I happen to truly enjoy, is a fair word. I agonize, but I also enjoy sermon preparation. I am not a procrastinator that way. However, I used to be, and that's because I didn't know how to do it that well. And so it kind of bamboozled me. And in the early days, yes, I would kind of go all different directions and then frenetically at the end of the week try to pull all the things together. If I have a reasonable amount of time and I know what's to be said, I find that a joy to me. So in regard to sermon preparation, I'm not a procrastinator, but I do know that there are procrastinators in the ministry where they are always last minute when it comes to sermonizing.
One of the things about the SermonCoach.com method of sermon preparation is it gives a specific format that a pastor can follow, and following that format tends to lay aside procrastination because it gives a systematized way of approaching sermon preparation.
Yes, and it also allows your mind to relax and then be thinking about it almost subconsciously. So I tended to, and I'm going back many years now because I was in radio ministry with a program 6 days a week, which was different than a sermon once a week. I would find that if I could tell like 2 weeks ahead of time the subject I wanted to talk about and the response, then it was almost fun for me because I knew exactly where I was going. And then those pieces began to fall into place so that by the time it got to be Thursday, I was pretty well set on everything that I needed to do. I didn't have that time frame when it came to being on the broadcast, but at the same time, I didn't have the disruptions that came in the normal pastor's life when I was on the broadcast. So I had far, far more time just to spend in the study working on sermons. That worked to my advantage as well. So yeah, having that system, what's my subject? What's the response I want? What are the how-tos that are going to help people pull this off? What's the time factor involved? That becomes a pattern. I don't know that somebody listening to my programs would identify that pattern necessarily, but I was able to say I answered all those key questions. And usually even in radio, I would script what I was doing. So everything's written out and then you have to go over it so it sounds more natural. But even if I couldn't script it, I still almost had a script in my head. It was just a matter of word choice that wasn't as good at that point. But yes, the whole sermon coach approach is a huge help to a procrastinator getting a good running start on things.
Do you see procrastination as a common problem for ministers?
Well, you know, if you ask me by firsthand talking to pastors, it is a significant problem. If you ask me by listening to sermons if I think it's a problem, I think it's a big problem, because I don't know how ministers could have gotten to Sunday morning and still be putting the sermon together in their head. That doesn't make sense to me. And the way that it's delivered, I'm thinking, you must not have thought about this very much. You know, so yes, I think it is a problem. Is it a problem I want to make fun of? No, because procrastination is a very painful thing for the person. I mean, for the person like me who doesn't want to do the income tax, the more I come to that deadline, the more I'm feeling it emotionally. And the more I'm feeling pressure, because whether it's a family member or whoever saying, you know, you still don't have that done. And I know that we need to mow the lawn, but do you need to mow the lawn right now, or are you stalling because you don't want to do the income tax? Well, I can handle that once a year, but on a weekly basis, that would be a very difficult problem to have to deal with. I don't have any kind of condemnation in my spirit as much as just a huge amount of pity. And it's also possible, Dean, and this is a very hard thing to say, and I don't want somebody to hear it wrongly. It is possible, if this is a problem that has been consistent for a period of years, that you might not belong in a preaching ministry because it is not pleasurable to you. It's affecting you emotionally. You know, if you're barking at people, you know, hollering at your kids, whatever, you may be in the wrong profession, you know, or you may be a great pastor, but not a good preacher. You have to probably go back and say, what is it that I really enjoy doing that God has made me to do in a good way? And I'm saying those words very, very carefully, because I'm talking about somebody's life that I may be holding in my hands, and I want to do that very gently and tenderly. On a continuing basis, if there's been year after year of this, then you might want to say, am I really where I belong?
I had a pastor one time that I was very impressed with. He had been a pastor for about 30 years, and after 30 years of relatively successful ministry in a variety of churches that he had served and served well, he went into the hospital chaplaincy. And I said to him, what moved you to do that? What was the motivating factor? He said, well, frankly, after 30 years of ministry, I came to the stark realization that I really don't like to preach. I like being a pastor. I like dealing with people that have problems and helping them. I like being a voice of encouragement. I like representing God in people's lives, particularly when they're in stress. I sense the Holy Spirit using me. I feel that He's given me some gifts of compassion and a tenderness in my spirit. And I suddenly realized that that's where I belong. I belong in a pastoral role, but not as a spiritual leader or a preacher, someone that's exhorting a congregation. It took me 30 years to get there. I wish it hadn't taken that long, but I'm so grateful now for this hospital chaplaincy ministry, because every day I get to walk into rooms where people are in tremendous stress, and I bring the Spirit of Christ with me in a way that I know God is so pleased. I sense power from the Holy Spirit in doing my chaplaincy, and I'm just grateful that God has led me finally to recognize the gifts that He's given me and use them in an appropriate way, even though some people look down on those of us that are chaplains and they don't think of us as even being real ministers. But in my case, that's where I belong.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, you just want to say, good for you, good for you. 30 years, that's not too long. What would be long if you went another 20 years just agonizing over trying to be in the pulpit, yeah.
Let's say someone's listening to us today, one of our pastors that's tuned into the podcast, David, and he or she has a problem when preaching with procrastination. What would you say to that person?
Well, I think I would say, hear what we're saying, hear it in the compassionate way in which we're saying it. Don't act quickly, but be open. Maybe you're like the very person you were talking about. These are people who all of a sudden have made a significant move, and they've said, this is how God made me, and I'm happy because I'm fitting in that role. I have a close friend in my small group who was a medical doctor. It takes a long time to become a medical doctor. And basically, he came to the place in his life, and you have a lot of respect as a medical doctor, and he came to the place saying, I'm a medical doctor because that's what my dad wanted me to be, but it's not who I am. And he started over, went into a whole different profession. He basically said, you know, I can live the rest of my life that way, but that's not where I belong. And I do have nothing but tremendous respect for him because it's been an agonizing decision, but praise the Lord. I mean, that's, and we change, our lives change, you know, all of these things. So I think what you asked me what I would say exactly what we've been saying all along. We're treating it carefully. We're not just blowing words out to sound like we're intelligent. We're saying maybe this is something the Lord needs for someone listening to us right now to hear. And we're not God, but maybe God's using us as an instrument in a special way. So just be open to it.
And if there is a pastor who does feel called to preach, but still is facing the idea of each week it's agony, we would encourage them to go back through and listen to our podcast.
That's a great idea.
We lay out exactly the Sermon Coach method of sermon development. It works. You've used it virtually your entire pastoral career. I've used it for almost 35 years. It's effective. It works tremendously. I would just encourage someone to go back. We've done now, with this one, 178 podcasts.
Oh, I can't believe it.
And a large number of those are devoted to the Sermon Coach method of sermon development. We believe there is help there. That's why we do these. And so if you're having trouble with procrastinating the preparation of your sermon, go back and listen. Pick up some of the comments that we have, some of the suggestions we've made. And I believe God can use that to make sermon preparation much more of a joy than it may have been up till now. What we're saying is habitual procrastination regarding sermon preparation could be a sign that you need to ask for help. And we hope that when you ask for help, that we'll be able to give you that help through these podcasts. We're so glad that you joined us for our time together. As always, you found our SermonCoach.com podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. As we always do, we invite you to browse through our website. We have many helps there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.